Today's readings, I think, give us a good warning about taking Lent in the right way. We're not to marvel or complain. We are not to suffer simply for the sake of suffering. There is a purpose to our fastings and penances. We strive not to be those seeds that for whatever reason bear no fruit, but to be the seeds which bear fruit in patience. I think we've kind of gotten away sometimes from what Lent is really for or how we should take advantage of it. Lent is a time of extraordinary grace. So it's like a water current or a current of air in our spiritual lives. Say we're clipping along usually, you know, maybe 5 to 7 knots if we're lucky. And then we hit this current, this time of great grace. And we can accelerate. We can be kind of shot forward, you know, doing 20 knots for a while. We want to make as much progress as we can while this grace is available, this grace during Lent. So the idea is not just to do something difficult because we're trying to beat ourselves into submission in preparation for Easter. What we should be trying to do is what we should be doing all year, really. We're just intensifying our efforts during Lent because of the availability of this special grace. We want to run out all the sails, catch as much of this grace as we can. We're trying to grow in virtue in preparation for the commemoration of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, so that we can receive more grace when the great feast is celebrated, so that we can grow in holiness, so that we can be more like Him, so that we can have more room for Him in our souls. So, how does giving up coffee and complaining or bragging about it for 40 days help us grow in holiness? Well, yeah, it doesn't, okay? So don't do it. But what about giving up something that matters? What about giving up a vice? What about changing something in our lives that will help us actually be better people, to grow in holiness? See, vice gets in the way of our holiness. This is a season to grow in holiness, so we want to get rid of a vice. Do you fly off the handle at your kids or your spouse or traffic or employees or employer, doctors, the news, the church? Inanimate objects. Well, welcome to the human race. What do we give up for Lent? How do we give up a vice like this? That's what we should be working on. Cutting out the coffee is nice, but it's like snipping a little 5-pound fishing line while a ship is still anchored with chains. So we'll look at two fairly common problems today, impatience and anger, and how to conquer them. And from what we say about these, we should be able to extrapolate to infer what can be done about other vices. Okay? If you still don't have a good idea or a clear idea of what you can be working on and how, then maybe you want to bring that up in confession. You know, say, see, here's the thing I'm struggling with, Father. You know, what's a good way to work against that? Okay. So first we'll deal with impatience and how to fight against it. First of all, you have to pray to get over it. God, I ask you for the grace this Lent to grow in patience. And say it every day. It's a nice, simple thing. Say it every day. Make it a regular part of your routine. Maybe a few times a day so you're always reminded what you're working on. And you can start praying now, even though Lent's a couple weeks away. And in that prayer, recall your past failures and the thing that caused those failures. And offer those failures and the things that caused them, offer those up to God. Say, I'm departing from these. I'm giving these to you. I'm not going to struggle with these. Then imagine how you should have acted in that situation. Maybe there's something that sticks in your mind. Ask God for the grace to do better, to do what it is that you're thinking you should have done, what you wish you had done in that situation. So prayer, then imagine the situation being different from how it was so that you're learning. Next, we can offer a sacrifice aimed at that particular problem. Here's how that works. So losing your cool in the moment, right, with the kids, with work, with traffic, whatever it is, might be a lack of patience. So patience is about tolerating evil. We suffer something. We wait for it to pass with a steadiness, with calmness. with what one article referred to it as an even mind. So if patience is about bearing evils with an even mind, what sort of penances can we do that will help us get ready for that, to grow in patience, so that when we're tested, patience is in place and ready for the fight? Okay? Well, we could purposely get in the lane on the highway that we know is going to be plugged up, rather than racing past everyone in the left lane and then getting over at the last minute so we can still make our ramp. But Father, they're wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, I know they're wrong. But you're looking for an evil to tolerate, remember? And this is not a moral evil. So relax. Just go with the flow. So you purposely get in that lane and you say to yourself, this is so that I can grow in patience. You can do the same thing at the store. Choose the longest line to get into, not the shortest. Heat your food on the stove instead of the microwave. Take the stairs instead of the elevator, at least some of the time. Take surface streets instead of the highway. Park a little farther away from the building if it's safe to do that. You can find things all day long if you set patience as your goal. Don't just look for things as you go through your day. Most of us have days that are fairly routine. They're kind of the same, one after the other. So choose things that you know are going to come up. And just do those same exercises every day for the whole of Lent. Maybe when those things get too easy, you know, you add to them. Don't take anything away, but you add more things to them. Don't push too far, too fast, but just keep looking for things that are going to help you grow in patience. So pray for the virtue you're trying to grow in. Choose penances that will help you grow in that virtue. And have a plan for when you're tempted. So what does that mean? Well, having a plan for when you're tempted. Well, let's say you choose a few things during the day to help you grow in patience. You waited in line at the gas station rather than going down to the less busy gas station, a block down the road. And while you waited, you told yourself, this is so that I can grow in patience. And you heated your lunch on the stove instead of the microwave, and you told yourself, this is so I can grow in patience. Then you let your carpool partner play with the radio on the way home instead of putting it on the station that you wanted to listen to. You say, this is so that I can grow in patience. Okay? You tell yourself that. You don't tell him that. Then you get home, and as you try to open the door, you find that it's blocked by some child's toy. And you get the door open a little bit, and you hear a crash and a scream and crying down the hall. And from the other, and then your four-year-old wraps himself around your legs as you walk through the door, and you stub your toe on some other toy and knock half a cup of coffee over onto the stereo. Okay? This is the temptation. And you call to mind that image of how you wish you had behaved in the past, because this is something you've worked on, and you say, this, too, is so that I can grow in patience. And you'll find yourself laughing sometimes. Like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Because, see, God does answer prayers. See, when you did it to yourself, that was penance. When God does it to you, that's the temptation. And they both make us holier if we handle them properly. And later on, then, when the kids are maybe too noisy, you won't have to yell at them. You'll be able to remain calm, send them to another room, or even discipline them if necessary, but to do it calmly. Because you spent the day trying to grow in patience. We could do the mom's version of the same thing, right? Don't just yell down the hall in the morning. Actually go down there and pat the kid on the back and wake him up with a little rub of his head or something. And you say to yourself as you're going down the hall, this is so I can grow in patience. You wait for the stock boy to bring out another box of the cereal that your husband really likes rather than just grabbing the one that's available right there. And as you wait, you say, this is so that I can grow in patience. And you finish your shopping and you put the groceries away before calling your sister back to find out if she's having a boy or a girl. And you tell yourself, this is so that I can grow in patience. And then when dad comes home at the end of the day and the kids all drop what they're doing and leave a huge mess to go running to play with dad, you can call to mind those thoughts of how you wish you had acted in past trials, because you've prepped yourself for that already. And you can say, this, too, is so that I can grow in patience. And maybe at that particular moment, you don't really care a whole lot about growing in patience, but you're working on building a good habit. And habits take repetition, so you make yourself calmly and sweetly ask your husband to come into the kitchen so that he can get the kids to clean up after themselves. See, you will be tested. You know that. We've been tested all along. We should be giving ourselves some practice tests so that when the pressure is not on, we can build the virtue that we need for when it really matters. So choose certain evils to overcome so that when we're hit with the ones that we don't choose, we're better prepared. And when we have the virtue solidly in place, we can keep going. We can keep practicing it when it doesn't really matter so much, because we can make the virtue stronger and stronger and stronger. You don't want to just send a soldier into battle that's evenly matched with the enemy. You want somebody that the enemy doesn't stand a chance against, so we can make those virtues stronger. Not all the virtues, however, are like that example of patience. Okay? They don't all depend on doing things directly related to the thing you're struggling against. Right? To build patience, we can practice patience. But let's look at anger, for example. The first steps are the same. You pray, you recall your past failures, and you offer them and their causes up to God, imagining how you should have or how you wish you had acted in that particular situation. Then the practical attacks on the sins of anger. Well, first of all, let's remember this. Anger is not always sinful. Anger is the proper response to injustice and to evil. But it becomes sinful when we get unjustly angry, that is, for no good reason, or when our anger is immoderate. We get carried away with it. It gets the better of us. We're not really in control anymore. So in order to discipline anger, we need to find the proper virtue to counteract it. That virtue is meekness. So how do we practice meekness? That's a little strange. Well, actually, meekness is a part of the virtue of temperance. Okay? So what we can do is practice temperance. If I tell you to go out and practice meekness, what does that mean? You know? But practicing temperance, we can do that. I found a great article online by a fellow named Doug McManaman. He's a religion teacher in Ontario, and he seems to be a pretty first-rate philosopher, just from what I've read. So I'll just take this right from him. He says, temperance is the first virtue that perfects man's ability to act well with oneself from within oneself. For it brings order to the concupiscible appetite, and thus to the emotions of love, hate, sensible satisfaction, desire, aversion, and sorrow as they bear upon a pleasant good. Temperance is primarily about desires for the greater pleasures, and the greatest pleasures result from the most natural operations, which are those that have as their purpose the preservation of the individual and the preservation of the species. In other words, temperance is concerned with, among other things, food and drink. And temperance, since it is concerned with food and drink, is something that we can actually work on. We can strengthen the virtue of temperance by making sacrifices in food and drink. Since meekness is a part of temperance, meekness will also grow stronger and thus bring anger into line. The word meekness has kind of taken a beating in English. We think of it as kind of a wimpy, mousy sort of thing, the meek, and it's not. It's actually an amazingly powerful virtue because it's got to conquer anger, and we know how strong that can be. So as quiet as meekness may be, it's incredibly strong. We can build it up by practicing temperance. If we regularly just eat what we want, when we want, and as much as we want, then temperance is pretty much asleep at the wheel, okay? Or more like kind of beaten up and thrown in the trunk is more like it. But in order to conquer an anger problem, we can mortify ourselves in food and drink, building up the virtue of temperance, of which meekness is a part, and meekness then will help us conquer the anger. Since temperance governs pleasures associated with the preservation of self and the preservation of the species, it will obviously help us with other temptations besides anger. And obviously, since we're making deliberate efforts to control our eating and drinking, we'll also be combating the vice of gluttony. So make sacrifices in food and drink, and not just sometimes. Hey, here are a couple good examples. Make a monthly sacrifice, whether it's Lent or not. Just decide, I'm giving up cream and sugar in my coffee. This month I'll drink only water. This month I'll give up desserts. Just switch it up so that there's always something that you're making a sacrifice of. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, just a regular thing. In addition to that, though, and this is where the big grace comes, we should pick some days out of the week, and probably the same days every week so that we're on a regular schedule. We should pick some days to do some fasting. The Curia of Ars tells us the devil hates nothing so much as fasting, which sometimes is motivation enough just to do it. It'll depend on your health as to what that means, though. Some people can do more than others. If you have a medical condition or you're pregnant or you're nursing, the rules will be different for you. Okay, a lot of the time, if you're pregnant or nursing, your diet's already regulated by somebody else. And you have to make sacrifices in food and drink anyway. Nevertheless, you can offer those as penances. You can embrace those. Maybe not the quantity of food so much as the quality. And even there, you can kind of tweak it a little bit to make things maybe a little more unpalatable. That can also require temperance. But for our sake here, we'll just talk about the average healthy folks. It's kind of a baseline. Then we can kind of find derivatives off of that on our own. If you have medical issues, maybe it's something you want to discuss with your doctor. You know, maybe a little change of diet allows you to eat less, but still keep up your strength. And remember, we're working on building a virtue. A virtue is a good habit, and habits are formed by repetition. So if the fasting doesn't go well the first week, well, try it again. Don't give up or try something different just because it's not going well at the beginning. So a couple of good ideas for fasting. Maybe 3 days out of the week. You could use the church's current definition of fasting. Two small meals, which together don't equal a regular meal, plus one regular meal. So maybe a piece of fruit or a handful of nuts for breakfast, a normal lunch, and a small salad for dinner. Obviously nothing in between, and liquids do not break the fast. Or you could just simply choose to make it difficult to get from one meal to the next, eating only what you really need to get to the next meal and nothing more. In both of those cases, don't overdo it. Eat 3 times a day, which is actually more difficult than skipping meals. Okay, once you've told your body that you're going to be burning fuel today, it's ready to do that. So a little breakfast makes it harder to get to lunch than no breakfast at all. So eat, but just a little bit. Don't let yourself get low blood sugar or dizzy or fainting or anything like that. Okay, if it's not working on some particular day, you know, fine, just have a candy bar or something rather than taking somebody's head off because you're grumpy from low blood sugar. Okay, that would just kind of obviate the whole point of the day. Don't let it damage your health or lead to other sins, but make real sacrifices. Eat just what you need. You'd be surprised how little you can get away with. And every time you feel hungry or want to eat something that you've given up or want to eat more than just your little meal, remind yourself, I'm doing this for the virtue of temperance, or I'm doing this to conquer my anger or gluttony or whatever pleasure we're trying to overcome. Then when something happens that would make you angry or tempt you in some other way concerning sensible pleasures, you say, this is so I can conquer anger or grow in temperance. You were doing it to yourself when you were making the sacrifices of food and drink, and now God's doing it to you. When there is something that might tempt you against the virtue of temperance, that's an opportunity to see how we've done. And you'll be stronger, and sometimes you'll even be able to laugh at the temptations. What? You got to be kidding me. That's a little obvious, right? Those kinds of things. What's the goal? The goal is to build up virtues. Does that happen in a day? No, it doesn't. So do the same thing the next day, and the next, and the next, and so on, until you've formed a good habit and made it stronger, strong enough to resist anything that it may face. You don't know what that may be, so you may as well keep building it up. Don't get discouraged or give up if you fail from time to time. You're building a virtue, and a virtue is a habit, and habit is formed by repetition. A failure here or there does not ruin what you're working on. Praying for it and trying to practice it only when you need the virtue will not get you very far very fast. It can happen that way, but it'll take a lot longer, and there'll be a lot more failures, and probably bigger ones. And how long do you really want to keep confessing the same sins? So there's a Lenten project for you. Don't just give up something to torture yourself for 40 days. Even doing it to unite your sacrifice to Christ is not the goal. The goal is to grow in virtue, to be a better vessel for the grace of the resurrection, to grow in holiness, and since vice and holiness can't share the same heart, we grow in virtue, and we do penance for that purpose. And we do penances specific to those vices that need to be overcome. Attack a single vice with prayer, asking to grow in the virtue that counters that, its opposite. Attack it by practicing the opposite virtue. And we saw today how to deal with impatience and anger as a couple of examples. There are plenty of other vices out there. Then attack and conquer the vice you're working on by repeating to yourself in time of temptation the same words you used when you were practicing the virtue on your own. So you remember when you were putting yourself to the test, you used that phrase, this is so that I can grow in patience, or I'm doing this to grow in temperance or overcome anger or whatever it was. To recall that same phrase, it's going to help you associate this victory that you were practicing on purpose with a victory now. You want to go through the same steps in time of temptation that you put yourself through in time of testing. Okay? Pray for the grace, recalling past failures and their causes and offering all those to God and imagining how you should have handled those trials. Practice the opposite virtue in controlled situations to make it stronger for times when you will be tested, when you are not in control of the situation. Have a catchphrase that you use both when you're practicing and when you're tested. This is so I can grow whatever virtue you're working on. Some very practical, straightforward things. This is not a guessing game. Okay? And the grace of Lent is available to you. It's a huge push in our spiritual lives. Let's make the most of it. Really unfurl those sails and quit just splashing around in the water with a single oar. So think about Lent. It's only a couple of weeks away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.